Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What did Morgan Moses think of the Redskins continuing to commit to the run? 33 carries, 30 passes last night. Also, what did he think of Kirk Cousins' dominant performance? We'll ask him. He's on the show at 12:18 today. Make sure you are listening at that time. If you missed Cousins earlier today on this Chris Thompson day on Grant and Danny, 1 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan, we will re-air that conversation for you. Let's kick off your Beltway Blitz.
The Redskins.
Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. I enjoyed watching the game with him last evening in row 2 of the press box, seats 17 and 18. Craig, happy Chris Thompson Day. How do you typically celebrate this joyous occasion?
I celebrate it with sleeping as much as I could because I was at the stadium until 2 a.m. But now that I'm awake, I don't know. Maybe I'll just start running around town and making people miss and try to set up some blocks excellently and score touchdowns, because that's all Chris Thompson does now is score touchdowns.
And how you do it is in a really fit way that's very lean without any fat on your body.
I'm just trying to honor Chris Thompson, Danny.
You're
that's
our
all
guy, Craig.
Trying to do.
But in addition to Chris Thompson making people miss, that 3rd and 19, kind of a give-up play, to be honest with you, to change field position a little bit. But what you have, or the entire offensive line basically downfield making incredible plays. I can't say enough about how good they were last night, both against the pass rush and kind of get out in front.
Yeah, it's a credit to them. It's a credit to Jay, too, for realizing that these guys are great in space. Credit to Bill Callahan for helping them be great in space. I mean, it's really spectacular what they've been able to do the last couple of weeks because of the variety of things they've been asked to do, from blocking elite linemen like Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack over the past couple of weeks and getting out in space or playing as a pulling guard or a pulling tackle on a trap play, to a power play, to just straight ahead bulldozing somebody. They've been asked to do just about everything a line can do, and they've been pretty darn good at it for 2 weeks going now. And last night they also were great in pass pro, just straight up stand up pass protection, which was a little bit of a problem last week in Los Angeles, and you saw the results there with Kirk Cousins getting the deep ball to Josh Doctson and some other more late developing routes down the field where Kirk was able to go through his progression, 4th and 5th read even.
As far as some of those progressions and the guys on the receiving end, Crowder caught all 6 of his targets, Davis all 5 of his, stepping up for Jordan Reed was big. Ryan Grant had 3 pretty important catches, but a very quiet night again for Terrell Pryor, who said his dominant season was supposed to have started last night. How should we feel about Pryor at another drop and then the rest of that group really taking a step forward?
Yeah, I mean, we have to look. The 3 of us have kind of led the let's make fun of Ryan Grant bandwagon. And I got to give that guy a ton of credit. And this is why we should probably not do that kind of stuff with pro athletes, because they're really good at what they do. And Grant was awesome last night. He had a bench route early in the game on a big 3rd down, I believe it was, where he runs a perfect route. It's exactly what Jay Gruden said he did. And he's deserved some scorn over the past couple of years when he's fallen down and not done the right things and been out of place. And he's still going to make mistakes because this game is hard. But he was really, really good last night and had some big catches. Obviously, Crowder was great. As you said, Vernon, what he's able to do at his age is spectacular. But as for Pryor, I don't know what to make of him because he's still ultra-talented and he's still trying to figure it out. And he doesn't have the instincts of a receiver. And I don't know whether doesn't have them yet or just is not going to have them. I would tend to lean towards yet. He's really, really smart about the game of football. And so as more situations come up where he can be coached, if he can adapt to that coaching, he can still harness those skills that he has. I would say because of the makeup of Terrell Pryor, my tendency is to believe in him. But I do understand that this is probably going to take some time. And so on a couple of balls last night where they go down as drops, you know, they're really contested, but they're more contested than they should be. He should be able to use that big body to create a little bit more space for himself and sharpen off some of his routes. And I think Ike Hilliard's a good receivers coach, so I think they'll be able to help him with that. So I would say, I don't know if I anticipate a monster season from Pryor like I may have in camp after seeing what he was doing there. But I do think he's going to have some monster games where he figures it out and everything clicks on given nights. And I would still respect him as a defense because of his elite skills, that if you let him free and in space, that's where he's really damaging.
Craig, my last one for you quick here. I said on Friday, if they're going to bother Oakland, you'd have to leave these corners out on an island and they'd have to blanket and play great coverage. Well, they did that, but they also were able to do this pressure with rushing four. I never thought in a million years against that O-line, that front four as it kind of rotated, would be able to do what they did. How much is sustainable here? How much it was just one night where everybody was right?
Man, I don't know. Because if you had injected them with truth serum, I think they would have been told you that wasn't possible either, that they were going to need to dial up and they weren't going to be able to get the pressure certainly as consistently as they did, because that's a good line. But John Allen's coming into his own. Matt Ioannidis is playing great. All of their rushers have been great except for Ryan Anderson, who's been fine. I think this is sustainable on some level. Now, that, of course, comes with the caveat of health. Ryan Kerrigan being healthy is a massive difference for this team. He's playing great. Preston Smith just got to stay healthy and stay consistent. Junior Gallette continuing to stay healthy, stay consistent. I think if those guys are healthy, those are three really, really, really good rushers. And then if the inside guys can continue to play at their level, they could consistently get pressure on the quarterback, Danny.
Bigger reason for the defensive turnaround and how well they're playing: increase in speed or better coaching?
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to give me one of those, because those are the two top things, and that makes it a hard question. I'll go with the speed, because I think speed makes up for mistakes. I'm sure there are things they're not doing perfectly that they then make up for because they're just so fast. But they are better coached. I mean, dropping to the sticks on third down, rallying and tackling, and just seeing this team rally and tackle in general, that's coaching, that they're being instructed to do that as opposed to stay in your lane, which is kind of what they were told last year. And so how they're rallying to the ball is definitely coaching. How quickly they're able to get there, speed, they work hand in hand. So I don't know if that's a great radio answer, because I didn't really pick one, but yes is the correct answer to your question.
Thank you, buddy. I always appreciate the time, Craig.
You got it. See you.
I want to talk to only Craig's on the Beltway Bliss. Nationals, please, Tommy.
Nationals.
Craig Ice covers the Nationals. Hi, Steve. It's overshadowed with this Redskins win, but this is an enormous story. 34 is back. He is back. Bryce Harper returns today. What do we know?
What do we know is he's going to come back. He's going to play in the Philadelphia Phillies series up at Citizens Bank Park. And we'll see how it goes. All indications are that he was taking BP over the weekend, starting Friday, hitting balls out of the ballpark, looking by some accounts like his old self. Now, I caution that having missed the amount of time that he's missed, and keep in mind, I think we can equate this to back to 14 when, remember, late in the year, Ryan Zimmerman hurt. Coming back, he was kind of relegated after playing a little bit to basically pinch hitting duties in the postseason. I don't think that's the case with Harper. All indications were he was running about the way you'd expect Bryce Harper to run, and also hitting the baseball, albeit in batting practice. When the team was in Atlanta, they did fly some lower-level minor league pitchers in for simulated games and things of that nature, but it's good to have him back. We'll see how he progresses over this last week to try to get him ready for October the 6th.
Is there enough time left to get him full swing, 100% of himself as Bryce Harper before game one on the 6th?
Well, I don't know whether there's enough time in terms of getting him the way Bryce Harper probably feels he should be in at 100%. But, keep in mind, this team, without him, played baseball to a .610 winning percentage. And that's probably about 5 percentage points more than the 100 and some odd games that he played beforehand. So I'm not saying that by any means he's not big to this lineup, because I know he is. But let's make sure that he's right and 100%. I think we'll get a chance to really see that this coming week, because he's going to get a chance to play.
Heisty, down to the wire here. You're getting ready to fill out your 25-man playoff roster. Where are the questions? Give me the guys that you think are doing battle. I'm looking at maybe a third catcher. Is it Robles, Stevenson, Blanton? Give me a couple guys that you think are in doubt.
Good question. I really don't know. Obviously, I'm not traveling with the team. I haven't seen lately. We know that, you know, there's going to be some difficult decisions for Dusty. I think Robles has made a real good case for himself to be a part of this postseason roster. But, again, I think a lot of it's going to come down to matchups. It's going to come down to, you know, obviously going up against it. Looks like it's going to be the Cubs for all intents and purposes when October 6th gets here. Robles, I think, is a good possibility. And again, you know, Matt Wieters concerns me a little bit only because the bat slowed down a little bit, and I know he's been battling some back problems, so I think that has to be taken into consideration in terms of the catching spot and what Dusty wants to do as far as having backup for him. There's a lot of decisions to be made between now and the 6th, and again, I think bullpen-wise, you're okay. Does Joe Blanton be a part of this? It's, you know, I think you're going to have a long man. I think Edwin Jackson's probably pitched himself off of it over the last couple of starts. But again, it all depends, I think, on matchups and how Dusty feels like his guys are going to match up coming down the stretch in a close game.
Craig Heist, you're on Grant and Danny. That is your Beltway Blitz in the latest on the Nats. What was your favorite moment of last night's Redskins shellacking of the Raiders? We will get your calls on that next. We'll give you ours. 800-636-1067. Morgan Moses coming up on the show in just a couple of minutes. If you missed Kirk Cousins at 11, we'll re-air that at 1 for you right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.